said he's not going to be here.
He said he was going to be here, so he's
okay,
not here.
All right. Well, we'll add him if he goes in later.
Yes, ma'am.
At this time, I'd like to call to order the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of February 13th, 2023. The time is now 6:02 p.m. Okay. Would y'all please turn off any phones or recording devices you should have, please, during the meeting? We'd appreciate it. Thank you. At this time, anyone will be allowed to speak on any matter other than personal matters or matters under litigation for a length of time not to exceed 3 minutes. No council or board discussion or action may take place on any matter until such matter has been placed on the agenda and posted in accordance with the law. Anyway, are there any public comments or that you've had turned in?
No, ma'am.
All right. Staff, are there any reports or announcements to be heard?
None at this time, ma'am.
Let me get really short. Okay. Consideration to approve the minutes of the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of January 9th, 2023. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I move we approve the minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Ross. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Are you going to call the roll?
I shall. Commissioner Tagg?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. New business, and these are non-action items. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am. Good evening. My name is Jared Smith. I'm the city planner for the city of Tomball. There are four non-action items on the agenda for tonight. These are each minor plats, which means that they are approvable at the staff level, so there is no need for you to vote on these items. They are strictly for your informational purposes. The four plats that are minor plats are Adams Acres, the Elam, Hirschfield Road Storage, and Tomball Business and Technology Park, plats 4 and 8, replat number 2. Copies of these plats were included in your packets, as well as any information pertaining to them in regards to possible contingencies that would be met before they were approved. I'm happy to pull any of these plots for discussion if you would like. Otherwise, we'll move forward without any further discussion.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions regarding the minor plots?
No.
Seeing none. All right. New business. F1. Consideration to approve the preliminary plat of Tomball South Commercial Number 3. A subdivision of 6.9349 acres, being all of Lot 2, Block 1 of Tomball South Commercial, a subdivision in Harris County, Texas, according to the map or plat thereof, in Film Code Number 632199 of the map records of Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Once again, Jared Smith, city planner for the city of Tomball. We're presenting Tomball South Commercial Number 3. This is a preliminary plat, which is preliminarily laying out 6 new lots, as well as the right-of-way for a cul-de-sac. So this parcel is located in the 21,300 block of Hudson Corville Road on the west side, and it is currently within a light industrial zoning district. As I stated, this is 6 lots, and it makes up 7.12 acres. Here's the graphic representation of that plat. Once again, there are 6 total lots, as well as a proposed right-of-way that will be a cul-de-sac of the service, these lots. This plot was found to be consistent with Chapter 40, Article 2 of our Code of Ordinance, which are the subdivision standards, and city staff is recommending approval to you all this evening, subject to the conditions that are outlined in your packets, for which I have also included on this slide here. One of them is a minor graphic revision to include a block number, and the second one is just prior to a final plat being approved and recorded, they will need to submit construction plan to the city of Tomball detailing the public improvements, that being the improvements to that street, as well as the utilities that will be ran down those streets to service these lots. Happy to answer any
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the preliminary plat of Tomball South Commercial Number 3?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Moore. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you, Commissioner Ross. All right, is there any discussion or questions regarding this? Okay. Seeing none, would you please call the roll?
Of course. Commissioner Tagg.
Aye.
Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Commissioner Ross.
Aye.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. F2. Sorry, my glasses are not reflecting well. Okay, ordinance amendment number OAM 23-1, a request by Apex Clean Energy Holdings LLC to amend sections 50-2 definitions and section 50-82 use regulations charts, subsection B use charts of the Tomball Code of Ordinances by adding standards pertaining to energy storage system. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Once again, my name is Jared Smith, the city planner for the city of Tomball, and I'll be presenting OAM 2301, that is an ordinance amendment. This amendment is aimed at revising sections 50-2, which are definitions, as well as 50-82, which is the use regulations chart, specifically by adding a definition for the electric storage system land use, and then we are also modifying the chart to define where these land uses can be located. So, a bit of background on this. Over the past several months, the city of Tomball has had quite a bit of interest from individuals and companies that are wanting to develop an electric storage system. And what that actually is essentially a complex made up of, the few plants that we've seen, they are essentially freight containers filled with batteries that serve as a reserve electrical storage of sorts. So they pull power or excess power from the grid and then store them in these batteries, so in the event that we ever lose power in the city or in the communities that surround us, lose power, we can make use of these reserves to provide electricity to customers. So kind of in a nutshell, that's what the land use actually is. The definition that's being proposed is an electric storage system is one or more devices assembled together capable of storing energy that allows power system operators and utilities to collect and store energy from the grid and discharge it at a future time to provide electricity when needed, such as to ensure adequate peak generation capacity and grid resiliency. So in the land use chart, the proposed what we are proposing is that electric storage systems will only be allowed within the light industrial zoning district with the approval of a conditional use permit. So any of these developments that are wanting to come into the city of Tomball will have to be located first within a light industrial district, and then they have to come in front of this commission as well as city council to seek approval of a conditional use permit to occupy those parcels of land. And with that, we're able to assign additional conditions that we feel are appropriate to make a palatable land use to the surrounding community. So we did publish a notice of this amendment, this proposed text amendment in the paper. So we didn't send out individual notices to all of the people of Tomball, but we did put something in the paper, and we received one response. It's from the Texas Land and Liberty Coalition. Excuse me, and it's quite a lengthy letter, and I would encourage you all to read it. But just to paraphrase, essentially what they're doing is supporting this amendment. It's to if you read through their letter, they are highly in support of promoting clean energy alternatives as well as the promotion of energy and grid resiliency. So, but again, I would encourage you to read this, and we will include it in the packet as well moving forward. So anyone in the audience will have comments to that as well.
Okay.
So taking all of that into consideration, given the growing interest revolving around the potential development of electric storage systems, city staff is recommending approval of this requested text amendment to define and adopt standards governing these land uses. Thank you.
Will the applicant please come forward to present your case? State your name and address for our record, please.
Good
It is not on. Sorry about that. It is not operational. We didn't. Yeah. So sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Your voice is loud enough. You'll be fine.
If I can't hear you, you'll just have to repeat it.
Jake Steinman, Senior Development Manager, Apex Clean Energy, 120 Garrett Street, Charlottesville, Virginia. So this will just be a quick introduction to Apex as a company, and then we can kind of jump into a bit of the details on the request. So Apex is a leading full-service clean energy producer. We develop projects across the U.S. We currently have 300 plus employees. You can see on our little map there, we're primarily focused in, pretty much from Texas east, but we are very focused in the western region now and developing projects there. And so that map will have a lot more dots as we move forward. So our core values, which I think are very important for Apex, are safety, integrity, professionalism, sustainability, and entrepreneurship. We carry those values through all of our projects. We like to build the best projects we can, so we take every step that we can to make sure that we build them correctly and with full support of the community, which is, you know, why we're here today trying to navigate your guys' city ordinances. And then we're a full-stop shop as far as renewable energy goes. We started with wind about 12 years ago, moved into solar, and now we are bringing energy storage into our portfolio. And then just a quick blurb, you guys can read later about what Apex does for the community as far as social, economical, or economic and environmental. But we do make a good effort to, you know, support the communities that we're in. And, you know, we do make a strong effort as far as environmental is concerned as well. You know, Apex guarantees $1,000 per megawatt of projects to go to an environmental grant in the area. That will be determined at a later date, so you know, something we'd like to do. So we're before you today to request a recommendation to the council to approve zoning text amendment to define energy storage or energy storage system use and make energy storage system a conditional use in light industrial zoning districts. So the purpose is to update the code to remain current with technological advances and to regulate the energy storage systems. Just so you guys are aware, energy storage, there's lots of different types outside of what Jared described. The technologies are coming quickly too, as you know, we see a higher demand for energy storage on transmission systems. So we want to be sure that Tomball can capture, you know, all potential future uses as well under this new code. So the projects will benefit grid resiliency and the ability to capture and release solar and wind energy in addition to traditional sources of energy. And then this would also encompass potential for additional energy storage at a city level that's more specific to residential and business uses. So just to make sure that's clear, that it's not just like a regional level, but it can also be used at a local level to support what Tomball has here. So the proposed zoning text amendment would amend City Code 50-2 zoning definitions to define energy storage systems as a conditional use. Would also amend the charts to make energy storage conditional use in light industrial zoning districts. So it would be permitted upon approval of conditional use permits subject to requirements, which gives, you know, the commission, the council, and the public more time to, you know, evaluate projects that are coming in and add comments to them. So we feel that that's very important. And then just want to highlight the importance of the use. Tomball is actually in a very unique geographic area as far as the transmission system goes. There's five substations in North Houston that are absolutely critical to the infrastructure. So lucky you guys, you have one right in your backyard. You know, they're kind of spread out about 40 miles apart, so which is why you guys are seeing more interest in these types of projects here. So essentially, if you know, especially during like, you know, storms or peak demands, if any of these substations were to go down, it causes a ripple effect regionally for Houston and actually greater ERCOT. So you could essentially see just an upset on one of these substations can cause the entire system to go down, you know, for South Texas. So they're actually very important. So these types of projects that we're proposing at these locations support that the transmission or the transmission infrastructure, and are essentially like making a temporary power plant next to the substation that can, you know, kick on in within a millisecond and, you know, get the grid back up and running, or ensure that it doesn't ensure that it doesn't actually go down. So and then so yeah, classification you use, so yeah. Rest of this just, so just kind of quick backgrounds for the from the application. So the nature of use, so essentially this would be, like Jared said, charging from the grid off peak hours and then supplying power to the grid when there's higher demand or there's upsets in the system. So essentially electricity is what is bought and sold for these types of projects. So like the projects that we've been looking at recently are essentially just containerized battery systems. So that's what they're gonna look like, is just containers set up in rows that'll be next to a substation that can feed it when power is needed. So as far as employment goes, this will primarily be construction jobs. These types of projects typically only require light maintenance throughout the year, so you would generally only see monthly, you know, workers out servicing these systems. So outside of that, there could be some monitoring employment or maintenance, as I just mentioned. There's not much as far as transportation goes, because there's, you know, no real activities on the site, so the only increase in traffic would be during construction of these types of projects. And and essentially these things run 24/7, they're monitored 24/7, and they're just ready to go as soon as they're needed. And then once again, because of the nature of operations, there's not much of a need for off-street parking. Just need, you know, room for a truck or two. Then as far as noise, odor, fumes, toxic materials, and vibrations, the main thing that you will see out of these types of systems is sound. From what we're seeing so far from preliminary sound models, you're looking at about 55 decibels at 60 feet. So just a point of reference, that would be about 25 decibels lower than the existing Tomball substation out on Lizzie Lane there. And then there's no additional public utilities required for this. Essentially, we would tap into the substation there. There's no sewer, water, or any other infrastructure required for these types of projects, so they're very low maintenance on the city as well. And then impervious surface cover can be addressed on a project-by-project basis, because there's no, like, set, you know, kind of design for these, so, which also feeds into why a CUP would be, you know, required for approval of these. And I don't think we really need to go in much more. The rest of this just kind of summarizes the code. So. So if there's any questions for me, I'd be more than happy to address them.
Okay. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. The public hearing on case OAM 23-01 is now called to order. Let the record show that the time is now, thank you, 6:23 p.m. If there's anyone present who would like to speak regarding to this case, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address for the record. You'll have 3 minutes to speak.
Madam Chair, Commission, I'm Latrell Shannon. My home address, 823 Lindsay Lane here in Tomball. My husband Sam and I have approached the City Council about this several times. It seems that Apex just will not go away. We present the city with a petition of all the members of the people that live in that neighborhood who do not want to see this over there. So they've come back again, and then this is the third time they've come back. Now, I really feel if you all would approve this amendment, it would be a slap in the face for me. Not that it really mattered, but I was one of the original members of the Zoning Commission here. Mm-hmm. We put a lot of time and effort into this zoning laws that are here. For you all to come back and start tweaking at it and picking here and there for it, I feel would be doing us an injustice. And I just ask that if you would please consider it, not please do this amendment for us.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to? Yes, sir. Please come up, state your name and address for the record, please. And the mic's not functional.
So. My name is Samuel Shannon, number 823 Lizzie Lane. And I worked for CenterPoint Energy for 47 years. And what they're talking about here with this here APEC, with this storage, what they say is stored energy, what it is lithium batteries, what they have there. And it's just like a graveyard of batteries they put there. And like I said, is they're trying to put this in a residential area, which is that very not safe. And so in Upbank too, what they were saying is though, they get talking about the substation. This has nothing to do with the substation. It doesn't help the substation at all. What it does is, it's the power grid, and the power grid, they control where they want the power to go. If Tomball would get in a dark, in the dark, River Oaks it goes in the dark, power gonna go to the River Oaks area before they come to Tomball. They gonna look for the best one, who does suit first. That's how it works, and when it comes down to for that power grid. Talking about when the storms come, a lot of people didn't have power. And other people was out. They sent power to the ones who had the most money. I'm just gonna tell you like that. That's how it works. So I hope y'all will turn this down about the lithium battery, because it's not gonna hurt. They could go anywhere where the power lines are, and type into a power line. They don't have to be close to a substation at all.
Is there anyone else present who would like to speak regarding this case? Seeing none, the public hearing is now closed, and the time is now. Nothing's still not working.
And if I could, just real briefly, I just want to remind folks that we are not here to discuss the actual installation of Apex's storage system, the energy storage system. This is only for the land uses in our land use matrix currently that we have for the city. So we are not approving or denying their storage system. It is just to request, or what they're requesting, to have a land use definition and then also an allowed location within the city for these particular types of energy banks. Just a clarification.
And the time is now 6:27 for closing of the public hearing. Okay. All right, may I have a motion to approve case OAM 23-01?
Make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Ross. Okay, discussion.
Your we all have questions?
Yeah.
Well, if we have questions of the applicants, we'll bring him back up, but for now.
My first question is, so.
Okay, sir, are you up wanting to speak to the applicant, Commissioner?
No, I wanted to ask Jared a question about.
All right, ask that.
So it's, you're asking for it to be zoned light industrial, right? This would be permitted only in a light industrial area?
With the approval of a conditional use permit.
Where does light industrial and Lizzie Lane come together, or how far apart are they?
Again, again, this is not to, for consideration of any particular parcel of land, it's just a, right, in the text. Just for your edification, I will share with you the proposed location that we discussed in PACS. So here is South Chestnut, which bends into Lizzie Lane. Can you see my cursor there? And Apex is interested in utilizing a portion of this region here. Actually, I believe it's further south. I think it's actually this region here.
That's the railroad tracks?
Yeah. Next to the tracks.
I have a question. Do we not already have one of these little substations in Tomball somewhere over off of Pittsburgh and Lizzie Lane area?
No, this would be a new land use within the city of Tomball. We do not currently have any battery storage facilities, energy storage facilities here in the city of Tomball. This would be a first.
Okay.
We have a substation.
Okay. Where is that? Is that the one that I'm thinking of over there?
Off of, yes, ma'am.
And essentially, would you explain the difference between a substation and what they would like to put in?
Well, they're quite similar, actually, and to provide a bit more background, when they initially approached us where we were at as a city, and we run into a situation where we don't have a land use defined, what we typically will do is try to figure out what's the next closest thing that you fall under the umbrella of, and that's where we put them, was a substation, because functionally they operate in a similar fashion. But it's a little bit different because they're pulling energy from the grid and holding it for a later date, whereas a substation, I believe, is actively converting that power to a lower voltage and distributing to the grid from that point. So it's a little bit different, but they function in a similar capacity.
Okay.
But this is the substation that I believe you are speaking of currently.
What is the purple? Is that...
That is our current light industrial zone.
And isn't that already light industrial? Isn't that where they want to purchase that land? Or what do they want to change?
Yes, ma'am. This is currently light industrial here. The property that they were wanting, that they have previously shown interest in, is currently light industrial. So if this were to be approved, what that would mean is it's similar to what we would have been previously. We were considering the electrical substations when we initially discussed this. And just for your own clarification, even electrical substations, which is the next closest land use, is only allowed in light industrial zoning with the conditional use permit. So it's similar what they're requesting. It's just a way for us to define this land use, make it clear as to what they are wanting to do with this property. I think that's really the whole intent of their request. They didn't want to come forward with an application for an electrical substation when that's not their intention. They just want to have an energy storage facility, not put a massive substation in, like you see here in the map.
Jared, when you were putting this all together, and your report was very thorough, I thought, did you find other cities in the greater Houston area that are handling this type of energy storage the same in light industrial districts? Sugar Land, for instance.
No, I didn't pull sister cities to figure out how they're dealing with it. What we did as a city was, okay, how do we define this today? Well, it's an electrical substation. Okay, and that's what we conveyed to Apex. And they could have moved forward this month with a CUP for such. But instead of doing that, they requested to add this land use separately, just to be clear as to what they're doing.
With the definitions.
With the definition.
And I take it that the definition that was presented to us just a few minutes ago for energy storage is an industry standard definition.
It's a definition provided by the applicant. So, but yeah, I would say it seems like boilerplate language.
Sure. I have another question. So they've been petitioning or had petitioned in the past. How long is that good for? Because apparently they've been talking about, Apex has been talking about this for a while, so how long, you know, when we have a group of people that are petitioning against it, is there a time limit on when that's good for, or do we still have a copy of that, just so you can see all the names? Out of respect to the people, you know, if they've been petitioning this in the past.
Well, there's never been a formal request for this property as of yet. It's been a very informal conversation with city council, just to kind of gauge their temperature on this matter. I'll be very forthcoming with you. The city has no records as of right now because of a recent network failure. So,
Even
if we did have a petition, we did not have access to it at this point in time. Unless it was included in a packet with city council whenever we had previously presented to them.
So I know we're looking at the land use, but if they want to bring in, what they'd bring in is trailers full of batteries. Is that what my understanding is?
They're more like freight containers.
So freight containers full of batteries when we can't even go on the airplane without, you know, putting certain batteries in whatever areas because they're worried about it catching fire, or have we looked into the safety and security? What kind of security would you need, especially being by the train tracks or whatever, but what kind of security is going to monitor these batteries? Anything, I don't know, just...
Sure, so part of our conversation that we've had during the presentations to city council has been, a lot of it has hinged on safety, because these are batteries. The reality is that batteries can catch fire. So we have someone from the fire department here who could maybe able to add a bit more insight as far as the safety of these things, but also I'm sure that Jake or anyone else with APX would be happy to discuss that. I'm sure that it's standard practice for them to make their facility secure, and I am also sure that these containers are also outfitted for with safety in mind as far as fire suppression.
And I just want to remind everybody is that these are all great questions and questions that we can or should be having for sure, but these will come back, right? Mm-hmm. If and when they do apply for this particular land use, right? Mm-hmm. So all we are talking about right now is that whether this land use is appropriate for the light industrial zoning district, along with the CUP, if you would recommend that. Because what I think we're blurring that line, right? We're blurring the lines to say whether we want to have this land use or not tonight, and that is not the question at hand.
Right.
The question is to say is a battery storage, well, and then that's where I think that this is where that line gets blurred a little bit, is for you to make that determination in light industrial, you need to know a little bit more about it, which is a fair assessment.
Right, but and if we do approve it, then they will probably go forward with it, is what I'm saying. So if we...
That's right. And so in preparation for that, what staff has asked our safety professionals is they're prepping for to have, if and when that were to come forward, they would bring forth that information. And I know that the assistant chief and the chief are in preparation to provide a presentation at a later date. Mm-hmm. And again, in our eyes, we were thinking that this was more along the lines of, was this appropriate for the land use matrix? And is a CUP, which doesn't allow anything by permitted right. It only can happen if there's conditions that you see fit as this body and also as city council.
Commissioner Moore?
Yeah, I would like to ask the...
Okay, would the applicant please, or you want
to... I want to ask the fireman first.
Well, actually, I was going to ask, Chief Cook, would you please come up?
Yes.
Could you address some of the concerns of the group, please?
Well, I mean,
I know you all looked at it.
There's no doubt that there are issues with fires with lithium ion batteries, but without looking at the full plan, and I mean, I don't know how many batteries they're intended to store there or anything like this. And again, we're in the process of prepping for the time that they actually would bring the permit process forward.
Right.
But I mean, there are certainly issues. They are a self-oxidizing, medium that is not easily put out. It creates its own oxygen, therefore you can't smother it with traditional means and things like that. And we're concerned with the resources that we have available here, but again, without having a full-scale plan and idea of what they're doing, which I don't believe that today is actually that time.
Right. Okay.
on a scale of 1 to 10, I mean, what's the odds of these things going off? I mean, what?
Can I ask him how many batteries they intend to have?
Take my guess.
As far as like it's hard to say. So our proposed system that we're looking at is a 100 megawatt 2-hour system. It's hard to break that down into actual batteries. I mean, I can give you an idea of like how many of these systems exist. There's more than 250 across the U.S. that are currently operational right now. There's another, there's actually, I think, close to 200 that are under construction. Within Texas alone, I want to say there's 60 operational battery facilities. So these aren't uncommon systems. I mean, there have been concerns in the past. There's been issues with them in the past. They address them as we learn new information about the technology and how we can, you know, build better, safer systems. All these systems go through rigorous testing as well. So, you know, what we're seeing is these are very similar substations as far as this, you know, number of incidents go. So we're talking like 1 in 1,000, 1 in 2,000, right? So it's not a high frequency. It's just one of those things that when there's an incident, because it's a new technology, it's very prevalent. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief.
So I'll just follow that up. Slightly different, still okay. Lithium ion.
Right.
The city of New York had over 200 fires attributed mm-hmm. to lithium ion batteries this
right.
past year, with leading to 6 fatalities and 150 injuries. Mm-hmm. Very, very different. Not large scale batteries like they're talking about. Mm-hmm. These are cell phones and
cars.
Batteries for cars and all the other toys and things like that. So 1 in 2,000, that's a lot lower odds than what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, data shows much different.
Yeah,
worldwide.
There's a difference between consumer batteries.
Sir,
very much.
Not until I call you speak. I have a question. I believe it requires a special kind of chemical foam to put those fires out, because you can't use water, is what I was told when I called you a few people.
Well, you can't use water or traditional foams, because
right.
those
you
smother
have special
by,
kind.
By taking away the oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And these are self-oxidizing. They create their own oxygen. So traditional means don't work. I will say on this is kind of a little bit of a plug towards them on that, because if you do have it self-contained in a
shipping container
type uh-huh. setup, that does lead to an easier extinguishing method, but that doesn't necessarily stop the severity of what potentially could happen. They had an incident where they were in similar containers. Once the door was open, it introduced additional mm-hmm. oxygen. They had a deflagration and explosion in Phoenix area.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's safer, but I'm not gonna say safe.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Any question about?
Would the applicant please come forward? Would you please state your name again, and then the Commissioner Ross has a question.
Yeah, Jake Steinman, Apex Clean. I keep on talking this. Jake Steinman, Apex Clean Energy, 120 years, Charlottesville, Virginia.
Okay.
But it looks so good when you talk.
I know.
Just let me talk. So, I understand tools in the box, and you have a tool to go forward with a conditional use permit right now. But y'all pulled back and said, we want this definition inserted. Why?
Because we didn't feel the substation fully outlined the technology type, right? And this is, like I said earlier, a rapidly improving technology, is rapidly changing technology. So we want to make sure that the code is up to date for not just what we have now, which meets the definition of the substation, but what could potentially come down the line. So there may be more opportunity in the future for additional, you know, types of these systems within city limits that, you know, people may want to pursue. And we just wanted to make sure that, you know, there is a path forward for, you know, bringing this technology.
Of the other projects that you have that you cited throughout the U.S., and some in and in Texas as well, how many of those are in city limits? What percentage?
Well, so as far as development goes, that's a good question. So just so you know, we have about 90 of these projects in various stages of development at the moment. So, we're primarily seeing a lot of these co-located with renewable energy. So we're seeing a lot of them, you know, out in the counties, primarily in Texas. So as far as like close to residents, it's a smaller number for Apex, but it's not like a small number for energy storage. I would like to point to Angleton, Texas, which has a very similar sized system right next to residential, actually surrounded completely by residential. So it's not uncommon. That's been the goal in metropolitan areas, is to bring these in, not quite in this large of a system, a bit smaller that they can kind of disperse throughout the cities, so they can strategically place them next to you know, the infrastructure that needs the support. So. Yeah. And then actually at a distributed level too. So like if it were for Tahoe, like distribution level energy, that's very common within cities and metropolitan areas to have those types of systems.
So. I think most folks in Angleton are used to living with a higher risk than folks in Tahoe.
Is that right? Okay.
Due to the energy industry.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Talk to me about noise. What a substation sounds like, so help me out with that.
Very similar. So essentially, systems are set up. So the systems that we're developing are lithium ion systems that are in enclosures, not necessarily conexes. That's what they looked like originally. So, you know, it's kind of the description they get, but they're kind of modular containers. So those systems have cooling systems in them, and transformers and inverters. So, cooling system hums, you know, as it pumps coolant through the battery containers, and then transformers and inverters on. So it's your standard electrical noise that you would get at, you know, neighboring substations that it feeds into. So, and there are ways to address sound as well, if it is an issue. So we've seen these sited as close as like 90 foot to a residence. So.
I have a question. I was listening to your presentation earlier, and the assumption I got for me, like what you said, is these are not going to be manned 24/7.
They're monitored 24/7, though.
Huh?
They're monitored 24/7.
How are they monitored? Just like electronically through the internet, something like that?
Yeah, so we have a regional operation center that we actually control all of our renewable energy projects through. So this would have someone sitting at a computer monitoring the systems 24/7, as well as the system itself has its own self-monitoring. If there's any upsets, it has the ability to shut itself down. But essentially, our crew would know within half a second, you know, if there's some sort of issue, and they can actually, you know, manually evaluate and shut down systems as needed as well.
So they can shut systems down remotely?
Yes.
So what if the system, you shut it down, it's on fire? How do you take care of that? I wouldn't call the fire department.
Well, I mean, that's...
I didn't know that, if they have a fire abatement system in there or something, you know?
Yeah, and actually, each system, we work with the fire department to develop an emergency response plan. So it's not a one-size-fits-all for these systems.
Right.
It depends on, like you said, what the agencies have available, you know, to what needs to be handled. I mean, if we're talking about full catastrophic failure, like a battery cell, you know, catches fire, the systems are designed and tested to show that they, you know, they won't propagate. Essentially, if that container catches on fire, that's where it's contained. That's where emergency management has to monitor. The systems burn themselves out.
They burn themselves out? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, essentially they will run out of fuel like any other, you know, fire. So essentially it's very synonymous to like a house fire. We're working with a company now who their entire job is to take these containers, set them on fire, and see what happens and figure out how to address catastrophic failure. So what they're focusing on now is actually figuring out how little water that you can actually put water on these, how little water you actually need to put these out. But, you know, from what I've seen from other trainings with rural fire departments, the messaging to them has been, you know, just monitor, be there for spot fires, and just making sure that, you know, you don't have brush outside of the facility catch fire. Mm-hmm. So that's, it's just, and then Apex hires a company to come in and do the mop up and take care of, you know, the disposing of the batteries properly.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Any other?
Yes, ma'am. You know, Tom Ball is all for innovation and being able to take care of the neighborhoods. I would love to not be able to have to buy a generator that you, as soon as something went, the electricity went out, your company would automatically just kick in, and I'd not have to go through and get a generator. Yeah. But my concern is, how close is this property to a house? Have we looked at that? The property that they want to put this in, how far is the first home from this property?
I'm happy to show you, but again, in this particular instance, we're not considering a property. We're just considering a land use. And then,
right, I know.
But as far as distance to a residence, do you have an approximation?
Yeah, so we're looking at a 25-acre parcel here. We don't need 25 acres. Actually, we're hoping to work with the city for a project of theirs on the additional pieces of this. We're looking at the very southern end, closest to the substation, about 4 to 6 acres, I want to say, with a fence around it. From that fence line, we're looking at probably, I want to say, 270 feet across the railroad tracks was the closest resident from what we proposed as a fence line. And yeah, it was one of those, I believe it was actually that house right there.
Yeah, I'm there.
You mentioned something earlier in your presentation about behind the meter storage.
Yeah, that is something that we get a lot of interest in, actually. Every time we talk about these, people want to know, you know, is this available at a city level for distribution? So if the power goes out, you know, everywhere else can Tomball have its lights on. And yeah, there are systems that they're just much smaller. They're, you know, like, I would say like a tenth of the size of what we're looking at, because Tomball wouldn't use much power. So, and I believe there's distribution off this substation as well. So there could be potential for a distribution project here as well.
Okay. Thank you very much. We've got it covered for now.
All right.
Appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Okay.
We're just talking about tidying up or defining, putting some clarity on the ordinance. That's it, right? I mean, being more clear about what this is defining it on its own, as opposed to bleeding the line between substation and storage. So we're just saying, here's storage, here's substation.
That's correct.
That's all we're talking about.
And what location it can go in within the city.
So light industrial is this big classification. Some of it is, some of the light industrial is a little closer for comfort than others, mm-hmm. I take it. So this project here, I mean, I wouldn't vote for that at that location at all. I can tell you that right now. Mm-hmm. But for clarity on the ordinance, I don't see much harm in, you know, creating a clear definition of what it is.
But I have another question of staff. If indeed this is, for lack of a better word, it's a different animal. It's storage. It's not a substation. Mm-hmm. So it's not distributing constantly. From a safety standard, does it belong in light industrial? I mean, I understand the premise. The premise is the thing that is most like it is a substation. Mm-hmm. But because it is indeed storage, does it actually belong in light industrial?
That is the most appropriate zoning classification. Mm-hmm.
With what we have.
That's where you'll find warehouses and all kinds of other storage type.
Light industrial.
And to go even further, we got to find a zoning district.
I get it, but should it maybe not be considered for industrial where there's more safety restrictions. Heck, I've seen adult, I don't know how to say it, adult shops put only allowed in an industrial district because they'll never go there.
Okay, Commissioner Ross?
So I don't know. So I'm questioning if light industry, if it belongs in light industrial.
So it's not there, then where would be the counter question to that? Because that is the most restrictive zoning district that we have.
Repeat that again?
If not there, then where? Because that is the most restrictive zoning district.
Yeah.
Would you choose a residential district like ag?
Industrial's not more restrictive?
No.
This is what we're proposing is industrial.
Yes, light industrial.
We don't have a heavy industrial.
Well, I just showed my ignorance, so sorry. We only have light. Okay.
Okay, I would, I'm listening to all y'all's discussions right now. I honestly don't feel like we have enough information to even decide this question tonight. And I would like to propose that we table this at least 30 days to our next meeting, and I'd like to get more information from not only staff, but I'd like some research done to see what other cities have done and all. Because I know where that substation is that they speak of, and it is very poorly maintained. And after hearing, and I know this is just what you hear from the news and everything else, but when you see a car that is an electric car and it's on lithium batteries and they're sitting there and it takes them four times as long to put the fire out. Fires not only are hard to put out sometimes depending on their source, but they spread. And I think we really need to know more about how things could be handled to be safe. Because once we have the use, which I'm happy to have them go to town, I mean, I'm all for not having to, turn my generator on occasionally tomorrow the rest of the neighborhood freezes to death and I get the phone call. But I just would like us to have more information. Perhaps we could have a meeting at a time other than an official meeting and just, or y'all write your questions down, send them to staff, and we figure out a way to do some more research into this. So would you want to, are you agreeable to table it for 30 days, or do you want to do 60? I mean, this is up to staff. I know y'all are working with some issues right now.
So if I may, they can move forward next month and ask for an electrical substation, and that's how we would view it. This is the most restrictive thing that they could possibly do. Light industrial is the most restrictive zoning district.
Right, I know.
And they would be required to get a conditional use permit. So every single one of these things would have to come
right
before approval.
I understand that. So, but I'm still not comfortable with it.
All we're
that's
looking
my
for
opinion
is clarification in the ordinance. This is not approving a land use at a particular location.
I know.
All of those are to be determined on a case-by-case basis.
Right. And this is a
the,
land use this, category.
This is the most restrictive thing that we could possibly do to it, is put it in the most restrictive zoning district and require a conditional use permit.
Okay.
It's like, the language makes it actually harder to get one of these things approved.
And to go a step further on that, even an electrical substation is approved, it can be located in an agricultural zoning district with the approval of a CUP. So this is a more restrictive land use
right
than an electrical substation would be. So I'm happy to do whatever research you'd like. We probably want specifics. What questions
right,
do you
that's
want
what
to
I'm
answer?
Saying. We need to get
but
you
I,
our
But
questions.
We do believe that this is the best solution for this land use. It gives us an opportunity to define it. It is as restrictive as we could possibly make it at the city's level.
Yeah, and ultimately, if the if it's the commission's want, we can go ahead and do that. But you could also deny it, right? You could also your request could say is that, man, we don't believe in this either, right? We don't want this particular type of use within Tomball at all, right? So those are the choices before you. Is that we could move forward, or we could table it, or you could deny it.
All right, no, I would like to table it so it stops it here and we can get the research and the questions answered, because I totally understand, I agree, with y'all, but I still have some concerns for our residents and everybody in Tomball. And I do remember the last time when some people came through and tried, and it really upset the citizens. But I believe with the technology and stuff, there's a whole different game out here, and it's safer and broad. But I would also like to know that our fire department, our police department, everybody else could handle everything. So that's my motion. A motion to table it for 30 days. Would that give you enough time to answer a question?
I would like a list of questions.
Yes, if we give you a list of questions, okay. 30 days, okay. Are you going to be able to get it done that time?
Yeah, of course. Okay. And but I also want to remind this body, and also when there's a CUP that's being requested.
Yes.
For example, Chief Sikora and I were talking about this before, and there are new rules and regulations within the new fire code in IFC 2021, right?
Yes,
and so it talks about these new emerging technologies, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the concerns was that, oh goodness, we might not be able to adopt something, a new ordinance, and get things done and completed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the beauty of a conditional use permit. You could say, you know what we would like for is that we're not ready, say if and when these people do come forward with this application, as part of the condition, you need to meet X, Y, and Z of the new IFC 2021, because that talks about the safety and the safety for not only the development and construction of the site itself, but also the surrounding folks that are within X feet of the property itself. So there are other things that we can do as part of it and educate ourselves as we go forward. But again, our want and need is what we were trying to do was just clarify what this land use is, and then also give it the most restrictive, as Jared said, is the most restrictive request that we can do, which is a conditional use permit. So.
Right. I mean, I totally agree with you. However, I'm still not comfortable with this. But I made a motion, and if somebody seconds it, we vote on it. If not, it fails.
Fair enough.
So, my motion is we table this for 30 days until our next Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, with everybody sending in any questions to staff within the next week or two, at the least. Latest.
Please, yeah.
I know.
The request would be, the request would be is that if we were to receive information, then we would need an appropriate time frame to respond.
Right, and if we could meet and discuss this, perhaps not during the actual meeting, that way we'll allow them to use another thing.
It's also a recommending body, so if you're not comfortable,
I understand
you are
that.
At your liberty to deny it and let it go to council so they can make a decision.
That's true. But I would still like to know that we have this information. So I just want, what's your feedback? What do you all think?
Well, if we vote now for the restriction, then we have time also to get the information if we give you questions for...
No, because once it goes past us, then it goes to them and says we either turned it down or we approved it. So you can't vote to disapprove it, and then they will do that.
As far as they go.
Yeah, we're just recommending approval and to the council. So it's up to y'all. I mean, what do you think, Scott?
I'm going back to we're just defining what it is. It's a storage facility, and there's nothing before us to decide a location or application or anything. We're just putting a clearer definition on what it is in the ordinance. And to me, I'm in favor of that, because it makes it kind of puts it more in a pigeonhole, really.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it harder to get approved, and kicking the can down the road 30 days, to me, doesn't make any sense. I'm ready to vote on it, so. But.
Well, all I can tell you is what I think, and I do know we spent 5 years working on the zoning ordinance for the city, and we went through a lot to get it and to try to do what the citizens wanted. And I personally feel that anything, and it may only be 30 days, but to me, it's worth the time to make sure we do things properly. I just need more information. I work in emergency management for 7 years, and I'm well aware of what can and can't happen. And Tom Ball has worked very hard for all of us, and the staff has. We've got a great staff. So, it's up to y'all. Well, we can't go anywhere if somebody doesn't second it, so I don't care.
So it's already light industrial, and so we're making that area more, I guess we'd have to be more stringent on what we have, what we allow into that area. Is that what we're asking for? Is that we have more control over what goes into that area, that light industrial, that area where they want to purchase the land if they don't have it already. We have more say into what, and control into what we do with, what they do with that land.
Correct. So if this were to be approved, it is the most restrictive measure possibly in place. And aside from just outright banning these things from the city entirely.
So we could approve it today, approve any company coming in, whether it's them or anybody else.
We're not approving a particular project.
Yes, so you have to approve it. The approval would be with the fact that in order to be permitted in the light industrial, they have to do a CUP. Mm-hmm. And then we can put whatever conditions you want in there. But at that time, you know.
Additional questions or something that could potentially be answered when they actually have a case in front of you for a CUP, mm-hmm. as opposed to kicking the can down the road.
Mm-hmm. Which they can already do.
They can do it already.
But by how
they can already CUP do. Not permitted.
So they could theoretically pull their application, not come back to you for this amendment, and then apply for a CUP for an electrical substation, and that's how we would have approached it originally.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they can already apply for a CUP.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
And without making this amendment.
What page is that on?
Yes, ma'am.
That
it's in the land use chart. Electrical substation.
I feel like making this amendment would be hanging out a sign that Tom Ball welcomes this type of electrical storage.
Well, it's more restrictive than an electrical substation, because you could have that in an agricultural zoning district, which is abundant.
Right. Okay. That
and
is a very good point.
Next door to residences.
That's a very good
every
point.
Day.
That's every a very way. Yeah. Would limit it only to the light industrial and eliminate the agricultural.
Yes, ma'am. This is as restrictive as we can possibly.
I have one more question. When do we review our comprehensive plan and possibly update our zoning?
We can discuss that after.
Is there a timeline? Is that in the next fiscal year?
So we just went out for requests for qualifications. All of those are due on February 23rd. And then from there, we would, depending on who we end up choosing to do, who's our third-party contractor, we would come together and make a timeline, an appropriate timeline to go through all of the benchmarks that usually are included in with one of those amendments. And since we would be, why we can't say for sure, whether it's 12 months or 18 months, is because not only are we doing the comprehensive plan amendment, we're doing the major thoroughfare plan, we're also doing the future land use plan, and possibly doing a large zoning amendment to our current zoning code.
Yes.
I would just hate to see us do something that 12, 18 months down the line, we say, oh gosh, we wish we had done it that way back when we did that amendment. I don't know if that's a scenario that could happen or not.
Okay, well, let's move on.
They can be changed.
So, well, since I don't have a second, my motion fails. So somebody want to make a motion to approve the zoning case PZ23-02?
Yes, you made it, and
yeah,
I seconded it. That's
no,
how we did discussion.
You didn't make a motion. I didn't hear it. But you want to make,
so did.
Scott.
But then we had the discussion. So
okay, we didn't have a second for it. Does one of y'all want to second it?
I'll second.
Okay. All right, would you call the roll, please?
Sure, Commissioner Tagg. Pardon me.
Nay.
Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Motion passes with three yays and one nay.
All Okay, and would you put Commissioner Anderson down as an excused absence?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, is there a motion to adjourn?
Wait,
I'm looking at the wrong page. Sorry, you're right, we have one more item. Okay. F3. Conduct a public hearing in consideration to approve zoning case Z23-02, request by RIAA Group LLC to amend Chapter 50 zoning of the Tomball Code of Ordinances by rezoning approximately 3.12 acres of land, legally described as being portions of Lot 172 in Tomball Town Site. From agricultural to general retail, the property is located on the northwest corner of South Cherry Street and Medical Complex Drive at 1635 South Cherry Street within the city of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Jared Smith. I'm the city planner for the city of Tomball, and I'm representing Z23-02. This is a request to rezone property at the northeast corner of South Cherry Street and Medical Complex Drive from agricultural zoning to a general retail zoning. The subject property is represented here on the location map, which is cross-hatched in yellow. Property comprises approximately 3.12 acres. Again, it's located at the northwest corner of South Cherry Medical Complex at 1635 South Cherry Street. This property has been within the city limits since 1907, but has remained vacant since. The reason for this request, as I stated, is to rezone from agricultural zoning to general retail. Specifically, the plan for this property is to develop a retail center as well as a convenience store and fuel sales facility. Surrounding land uses, immediately to the north is an existing recreation vehicle park within a manufactured home park zoning designation. That property does have a conditional use permit to have that RV park located there. To the east is an existing convenience store with a fuel sales component within a general retail zoning district. To the west is vacant property, and then to the south is also vacant property. In 2022, just last year, City Council and this commission considered a rezoning request for the property on the south side of Medical Complex Drive at the southwest corner of South Cherry Medical Complex to rezone from agricultural zoning to commercial. That request was approved by this body and then later denied by City Council. Here are photographs of the subject property as well as the surrounding properties. As you can see, the majority of the area is vacant on this segment of Medical Complex Drive. Current zoning map showing that the subject property does currently fall within the agricultural zoning district and has been within this ag zoning district since 2008 when the city of Tomball first adopted zoning. To the north, as I stated, is manufactured home park zoning, which has a CUP for the RV park. To the east is a general retail zoning district, which is similar to what is being requested to you today. To the south is existing ag zoning. To the west is also agricultural zoning. And then to the southeast is existing office zoning. Also, what you'll find in this map is that this property is located at the intersection of two arterial streets, Medical Complex and South Cherry Street. Locations such as this, that being at the intersection of two arterials, are most appropriate for commercial land uses, as they do provide adequate access, convenient vehicular access, and exposure necessary to accommodate success of commercial businesses. The current future land use map for the city of Tomball, which is illustrating a split of land use categories, that the subject property you'll see is half orange, which is representing a transitional residential land use, and then a pink color, which is representing neighborhood commercial. So something to take into consideration here, given the irregular shape of this property and the relative small size and restrictions on residential lots having direct access to major arterial streets such as the complex, it really is not suited well for transitional residential or any kind of residential land use. So taking that into consideration, staff is amicable to considering the entirety of this tract for commercial purposes. The neighborhood commercial land use category is intended for, as the name implies, commercial uses that are developed with the appropriate context, scale, design to complement residential neighborhoods. areas are intended to be accessible by both vehicles as well as pedestrians. And according to the comprehensive plan, land uses that are appropriate in this category are restaurants, retail, professional services, clinics, as well as offices. And then secondary uses may include things such as event venues, places of assembly, perhaps utility services or government facilities. The comprehensive plan does identify a few zoning districts that are most appropriate for this neighborhood commercial future land use category, and general retail is on that list, which is what is being requested to you today, as well as office or planned development districts. Here is a site exhibit, which is kind of giving you a conceptual overview of the potential layout of this site. It's not been formally reviewed by city staff, so again, it's just for concepts and for you to kind of get an idea of the layout. Again, there will be a convenience store fuel cell component to this property, as well as a retail shopping center component. Notification map, city staff did send out notification letters to all owners of properties within 300 feet of the subject property, and we received one response in favor, indicated by the green dot here, and zero in opposition. This request to rezone to general retail is in direct alignment with the comprehensive plan's objective of establishing neighborhood commercial at the northwest corner of South Cherry on Complex Drive. Taking that into consideration, coupled with the facts that I've shared with you today, city staff is recommending approval of zone case C23-2. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
Will the applicant please come forward to present your case and state your name and address for the record, please?
Hello, my name is Riaz with the Ria Group LLC for the property 1635 South Cherry Street in the city limit of City of Tomball. And we sent a proposal to rezone 3.12 acre of land from AR to general retail use for gas station and a retail space, and we're looking forward for your approval. Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you have anything else you'd like to say? You're welcome.
No.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. The public hearing on zoning case C23-02 is now called to order. Let the record show that the time is now, 7:16 p.m. Do we have anybody who filed to speak?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Is there anyone present who would like to speak regarding this request? You're welcome to. If not, seeing none. Okay. Since there are no additional comments or any other comments, the public hearing is now closed and the time is now 7:19 p.m. May I have a motion to approve zoning case Z23-02?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Moore. With contingencies.
I second it.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Ross.
Harris.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sound alike sitting up there the way you're heckling.
Good to know.
Okay. All right, would you please call the roll? Do y'all have any discussion or questions?
I have a question of staff. Okay. A clarification, and I think it's just a rhetorical question. Of course, convenience store is included in general retail as a use?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
As an allowed use if we do the change?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. I will go ahead and make a statement. Looking at the crime in Harris County, looking at the couple years ago, 2021, the FBI determined that convenience stores were the fourth site of most crimes. Of crimes, period, across the nation. I will not be voting in favor of a convenience store where there is already an existing one at any time in the future or today.
Okay, anything else?
No.
Does anybody else have anything they'd like to say? Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Ross. All right, would you please call the roll down?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Tagg.
Aye.
Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Commissioner Ross.
Nay.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Motion carries or passes. 3 votes yea, 1 vote nay.
Thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn, please?
I make a motion to adjourn. What about
this? Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Moore. Could you please call the roll? Nope.
Yes, Commissioner Tagg.
Aye.
Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Commissioner Ross.
Aye.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Meeting is now adjourned.
The meeting is now adjourned.
And the time is 7:19 p.m.
Good to see you.
You get so mad at us.
He was trying to keep us on task.
I saw it. Yeah, I saw it.
Mine are erasable.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you're right. But people just don't understand. Okay, today's date is the 13th.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. Then he's having a date to find Valentine's cards.
Day before Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I know.
The holiday I've never celebrated.
Really?
No, luckily my wife agrees with me. She's like, that's a made-up holiday.
Well, you know what?
To the point where she tells me, she goes, my gift to you is that you don't have to give me a gift. I'm like, that's literally a phrase.
That was nice. What gift is that? We always do it. We give it to our great friends. Yeah. Cards and stuff. They like cards.
I did. Well, she told me that last night, and I took it. I'll take this. I watched her definitely get her a gift this time. And she got mad. This is just a guilt gift. Now I'm guilty.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. All I do is buy a case of
I understand. And you're going to take away. I'm just trying to answer. Right.
That's like normal. Our
that's our work.
We're celebrating.
Oh, the trail.
And you've been Citizen of the Year twice.
Have you been?
Thank you, Barbara.
Really?
Yeah. That's the main thing that they do. Thank you. Good to see you. Take care. Have a good week. See you next month. Well, Nathan, you feeling okay? You look tired.
Me? Oh, I am a little bit tired. I, oh, here we go.